Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live prime time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Ehchan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Primetime with your host, The Fetch.
All right, Mary, thanks a lot for that. From Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, this is The Fetch, and welcome to Inside the Eye Live Primetime. Today's date is Thursday, March the 14th, 2018, and a good Thursday afternoon to evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada. And let me see if that sounds, it's kind of playing here, but I think that sounds about right. Hey, and it was a good late evening, early Friday morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones. And of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. Now, we've had some very, very nice weather here the past few days here in Riyadh. Daytime highs have been reaching into really the lower to mid 80s. Now, today's high hit only about 82 degrees, while the current temperature is sitting at 71 degrees at 1 o'clock in the morning now, on the way down to 67 degrees in the hour before sunrise. To top it all off, there's been a very nice, comfortable, steady breeze of about 9 miles per hour out of the south. So it's really a nice night to be out here in Riyadh. If you can imagine, 71 degrees, no humidity, and a nice breeze to go with it. No dust, and it's just really nice to be out there, quite frankly. So, but no, we're here. We're doing a radio show. I'd like to thank everybody who sent the emails reminding me about the daylight savings time change. I guess America moved into daylight savings time. That's a good thing for me in a way. It moves up the show by 1 hour here locally. Instead of doing a 2 to 4 in the morning show, we're now going to be doing a 1 to 3 in the morning show. And that's a little bit nicer. It's guys, it's at my age, not that I'm old, but it's nicer to get to bed at 3 in the morning or 3:30 than it is at 4:30 to 5. So it's a very nice thing when we have this type. In fact, I think I'll be able to handle this 1 to 3 a little bit easier. In Washington, I guess it is, you know, I don't know if you're familiar, but Washington has something known as the Cherry Blossom Festival. And there was an old joke I used to tell about Kung Fu Wan. And Kung Fu Wan was like China's George Washington. And Kung Fu Wan, you know, he was out there, you know, sitting around, and his father walks up to him and says, "Hey, Kung Fu Wan, did you cut down the cherry tree?" And Kung Fu Wan says, "Yes, father, I cannot tell a lie. I cut down the cherry tree." And Kung Fu Wan starts to beat his kid up and down. And Kung Fu Wan is kind of confused. He says, hey, father, when George Washington, the great American patriot, cut down the cherry tree and told the truth, his father did not beat him. And Kung Fu Wan's father says, yeah, but George Washington's father was not sitting in the cherry tree. But actually, that's kind of an old joke that I kind of created years ago. But nonetheless, that joke really come to find out studying this darn cherry festival. The annual cherry tree festival in Washington, D.C. could actually never be true. Cherry trees really weren't in Washington, D.C. at around the time of George Washington. But hey, it sounded good while I told the story back when I was growing up as a kid. Now, there's been a very late winter chill in, of course, the D.C. area, and that is prompting changes in the peak bloom dates on D.C.'s cherry blossoms. So there's really been really unseasonably cold conditions and, of course, heavy snow in parts of the northeastern U.S. over the past few weeks. And that's led the National Park Service to actually push back the peak bloom dates for Washington, D.C.'s, again, very popular cherry blossoms. Now, the peak bloom period was initially projected to fall between March 17th to the 20th. That would be this weekend, of course. And that was announced this past March 1st. Now, the National Park Service defines the peak bloom date as the point in which 70% of the Yoshino-cherry blossoms have opened. Now, the original dates would have coincided perfectly with the start of D.C.'s annual National Cherry Blossom Festival, which is one of the country's most anticipated spring festivals. The 2018 festival actually is going to take place from this March 17th, this Saturday, up through April 15th. Now, I probably should be telling this story on Saturday for Inside the Eye Live, but I guess we're kind of ahead of the curve here. You know, I love cherries. I don't know about you, but I actually love cherries. Cherries are like one of my favorite fruits. I'm a tart fruit guy. You know, some people like the soft fruits, like the melons. But I like the tarty fruits. I like the blueberries, the raspberries, the cherries. I'm not so much of a lemon guy, but I guess you can call that tart. Not so much a citrus guy. I like some of these more exotic, the boysenberries, things like that. Even the cranberries I kind of like from time to time. Not all that much, but I do enjoy some cranberry stuff from time to time. So I like these tart fruits. And the Yoshino and some of these other cherries are perhaps some of the finest fruits out there, and they are grown in the region, so we are able to get some cherries here quite often, quite frankly, so it's not so bad. Now first of all, hello, good afternoon, everybody, to everybody listening out there. I'm not actually in the chat room yet. Again, these are my work days, so I kind of like work my way over an hour, half hour before the show, and often less than that, but we're here. That's the important thing. We're here. Let me get into the chat room. InsideTheEyeLive.com/live_chat. Once you get that into your cache there, it loads pretty fast. And I have now popped it up. One eye is sitting there and he is sleeping. That's a good sign when you see one eye there. Below that should pop up the page, and it is now popping up now. And pop up. Come on, guys. Pop this thing up. There it goes. And just myself and one other person's there. What is that? Nobody showed up today, huh? Just myself and who's there? George. George. Hi, George. Wave to George, right? George, it's just you and I, man. Just you and I. What can I say? Interesting stuff I see up there about the alt kike is dying. I wonder what that's about. People have been liking my shows lately, folks. I'm not sure. Honestly, I just come here and just try to put on a good show for you guys, so to speak, bring you a lot of great information, put a new twist on things, perhaps let you see geopolitics and politics itself, national politics, in a different light. But lately, the past 6 weeks, we've really had some great reviews for the show, and I'm not sure because maybe it's because I'm doing two shows a week now and I'm just kind of getting into a groove. I'm not sure why that is, folks, but thanks always to all of the fine comments and questions and everything else about this show that I've been getting as of late. Now, again, you can join George and I in the chat room right now. It's again InsideTheEyeLive.com, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button now. Telephone lines 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-325. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. I got to focus here. 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Now, phones are generally open throughout the entire show. Now, interesting thing is yesterday was, of course, 1314. Actually, I should say 314. That's Pi Day, March the 14th, 314. And to those of you who know a lot of my old work, you know that it was based on Pi. Pi in the English alphabet was something that I actually created. Certain people came around later on and kind of ripped a lot of my stuff, twisted it, corrupted it, wrote books about it, but they're kind of like not telling you anything. But really, the original Pi in the English alphabet as a hyperdimensional representation was actually forwarded and advanced by myself. And I've written hundreds of articles, of course, on that. I've integrated some of my knowledge into my training here on the English language here in Saudi Arabia. And people, quite frankly, enjoy some of the ways in which this information gets presented. But pi is an interesting phenomenon, of course. If you notice, a lot of those 32, the two-headed eagles with 32 looking this way and that way, or a 33. And then you look at the unique pattern in pi that goes out to 32 digits, 33 digits. What you're going to find is this Illuminati number, this omnific number, is really pi. I mean, after all, why should not a number also be a series of letters? And why should not this omnific word, as they talk about, also not be a number? And, of course, why would that number not then be something like pi, which is infinite, it's irrational, it repeats, it never repeats, and it goes on forever. And of course, that makes pi a wonderful mathematical symbol for deity, because it's unknowable, yet you can see it, but it's not knowable. Even though you can see the circle, you can never know the real clear number of it, etc. So the one and the zero is so important in metaphysical reconstructions and deconstructions and all that kind of fun stuff. And we don't talk a lot about that here on Inside the Eye Live, prime time or Inside the Eye Live. But if you actually knew the history of the fetch, you knew that Inside the Eye, just Inside the Eye, was an old podcast I did on the esoteric constructions of the English language. That's right. It was quite a popular show. It was up on Podbean for a number of years. It got up well into the top, I don't know, top 20, top 50, I forget now, for religious podcasts. And of course, at the time, it was the only podcast, quite frankly, dealing with metaphysical issues. Back then, 2008, 2009, 2010, you had a lot of Jewish stuff out there. You had some Arabic Quranic stuff. You had a lot of Christian information, and you had some New Age, of course, stuff being put out there back then. But this Inside the Eye product was actually very well received, and of course we took that and then launched that into Inside the Eye Live. So it's been a very subtle, not so subtle in some cases, progression from the old esoteric work on the English language, and then moving that into politics. And of course, in politics, when you really look at politics, what you're going to find is there's a lot of things hidden, a lot of things that just don't ever get known to the public, a lot of misdirection, a lot of deception, a lot of half-truths, a lot of partial information. And that's true of reality itself. It's very hard to get to know 100% of the reality that you are being faced with. There's always issues behind the scenes. And if you think about it rationally, pragmatically, a lot of that just makes a lot of sense because, you know, what can you say? You can't know everything that's quote unquote within the spiritual world, the motivations, the machinations and things like that that go on behind the scenes, because it's not visible. Just by writ, it's not visible. It's hard to read people's minds and get in there and know what they're saying or thinking inside of their minds. Now, of course, if you look at politics today, we've entered this really dangerous phase of politics where you got this, I forget the name of the movie now, but, you know, essentially coming from the Jewish community, they believe they understand exactly anything that they want. They know what you're thinking, and based on what you're thinking, they feel they have a right to go out and do whatever harm to you they want to do to you. And this, of course, is very wrong. It's against our Western system. This idea of premeditated slash, not premeditated, it is premeditated, of course, but this what's the term? Like, sometimes my words escape me over here in the Middle East. That makes it a challenge. But this, I don't know, it's not premeditated, guys, but it's kind of like the extrajudicial. You know, you're like declaring somebody to be an enemy of the state and you just go out and kill them because, hey, you have the power to do so, and there's no trials, there's no witnesses, there's no ability to defend yourself. It's just we're Jews, a typically type of mentality out there, and they'll do whatever they want, and there's not a whole lot you can do to stop them. And of course, a lot of that is so anti-Western barbarism, and we should continue to highlight the fact that much of Talmud, much of Jewish society, is often based on this pre-medieval barbaric system. You know, I've been talking, you know, if you're familiar with the show, obviously you've been listening for quite some time. You do know that our bumper music was done by a gal by the name, we just call her Mary here for the show. She has been in touch lately. She's had some interesting stories to tell to me about Saudi Arabia as a woman here in Saudi Arabia. And she's now starting to understand. She's once again a Pakistani woman born in Hong Kong. Her family served the Queen of England in a very high level. So she was granted a sword, one of these ceremonial swords by Queen Elizabeth themselves. The Queen actually bestowed citizenship for this family. She doesn't see herself as British. She thinks that's silly, as she says, but she does hold a British passport. And what's interesting is that as she's gotten more immersed into the cultures here and starting to see the reality of what happens all around her, she's starting to understand, quite frankly, why we as nationalists say what we do, think as we do, believe as we do. And it's very interesting, as I always say, folks, give people time when you are out there working the rhetorical circuit to sway people. You need allies. It's a lot of people in this world, and the way it is set up right now is we need allies no matter what you say. And people, if you are patient and clever and wise and focused, you can move the Overton window, as they say, closer to your central core beliefs. It's never going to happen, though, if you take your attitude to such an extreme degree that you fail to understand the underlying emotional dynamics of an environment. It really is critical to gauge what is happening around you so that you communicate in a way that resonates with the audience. There's no point in being Jewish and banging your head against the wall. There's no point in this. It's just kind of a stupid thing. We understand message now. We understand narratives. We understand the reality of false flags. We understand the reality of psychological operations. We have come a long ways in deciphering the realities that this hostile elite within our countries has brought to our shores. We have, of course, a tough battle ahead of us. But the key point here is to keep winning allies, keep the story moving, keep educating, keep recruiting. That's right. Keep recruiting. Keep bringing people into the fold. You know, there's the story, I think, of in the UK, and it's kind of a big story. I think the name, hold on here, let me get it. Hold on just 1 second here. I'm just kind of talking off the top of my head. And it came out, of course, the UK again in this case. And here you've got two young kids, Brittany Pettibone and a Martin Selner. And they're passionate, as they have a right to be, about their culture. They're passionate about their beliefs. They are nationalists. You may not agree with them. But they have a right, obviously, to voice their opinions. They have a right to speak to their audience, just as the rest of us do. And the UK has become so draconian, so Marxist, so Jewish, that when Martin Selner and Brittany Pettibone, these again are people, one of those is from, I think, Identity Europa, which is a pretty active group that's working throughout Europe, and then Brittany Pettibone being a, I guess we could call it one of the new media style nationalist slash reporters slash let's call her a reporter, I guess. I don't really know what she really does. But imagine you show up at the airport in the UK, and here you are. You're European. You're advocating for your people, which you certainly have a right to do in most common arenas of thought here. And they're detained at the airport and eventually deported out of the UK this week. That's a big story. It was covered by Fox, Tucker Carlson on Fox. Other people have brought this to the attention in England. And now we're starting to understand this enemy within. This Jewish enemy within, and that's what it really is. Say for what you will, but this Jewish enemy within does not want to allow any of us to breathe. It wants to stifle us. It wants to destroy any and all ability to speak openly and clearly about the problems facing Western civilization today. The reality of it is, folks, is that our enemy isn't the external forces. These external forces can be dealt with one way or another, and societies will have to deal with it. But if Western civilization wants to just roll over and die, which is what Merkel is doing to Germany somewhat, and Merkel has been a disaster for Germany, what Theresa May, who is basically, as far as I can see, nothing but a stooge of the Israeli state, again, if these people maintain their power, it's difficult. So focusing obviously on the political process is a key point here to reversing current trends, but we do see progress. We do see people happening. And when you have a Martin Selner and a Brittany Pettibone showing up, and then you have hyper yellow journalistic pieces like the Mail Online, and they run a story here, far right Austrian activist and his American girlfriend say they have been deported from Britain over plans to speak in Hyde Park. Well, first of all, where do these Jewish publications get off calling people, quote unquote, far right, when in reality, this is simply in the right? These aren't far right people, folks. They're in the right people. It's not between far right and far left anymore. It's between nationalism and enemies of the Western civilized world, globalism. Nationalism, of course, by its very nature, will focus on the national characteristics of a people. Imposters to these cultures, like the Jewish people, obviously should not have any say in the direction of these countries. It's not their country. And that's the part that most people aren't grasping yet here in the western part of this in the western part of the world. Folks, these aren't their countries. But what they're doing is they're buying the country through the political process such that they believe it is their country and that they have a right to do whatever it is they want to these countries, enact any type of bizarre, counterproductive, even destructive social experiments on these countries. And when you break it all down, we can only view Jewish behavior within the West as the most insane, overt, fifth column treason that we have seen in our lifetimes. I mean, we've seen a lot of bad stuff, but when we see what's coming out of the Jewish community as of late, it is really hard to say anything other than these people are fifth columnists who hate the United States, hate the West, and want to implode it. And you know why they want to implode it? And this is why a lot of people are so silly about dealing with the reality of what's happening out there. They want to destroy it because they believe in their fairy tales. They believe in their chosenness. They believe in their oppressive history. They believe they've been victimized forever by the West. Never in the annals of Jewish history do they discuss the reasons why they have been so despised over the thousands of years. Never have they seen it, or never have they discussed it. You know, there was something I had Kevin McDonald on from the Occidental Observer back this past summer. And we did put that interview up on YouTube. And it for me, I don't have a big YouTube following, and I don't want to build it so much only because I'm afraid they'll just destroy it. I guess I should put it on BitChute and others elsewhere. But nonetheless, some Jewish guy came in and commented, you know what? He said, I'm all for America remaining a Christian nation so long as we can practice our religion in peace. And the American Christian nation has always allowed us to do that. And then he went on to say, I'm terrified by what these secular Jews are bringing to the world today. And folks, everybody should have this attitude. How can you not be absolutely terrified by what you see coming out of the Jewish community nowadays? You know, it's a never-ending brag fest about how Jews are shutting down debate everywhere we go. One such case, oh, we're in a break already. All right, it's The Fetch, everybody. Inside the Eye Live, prime time. Back with more right after this. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent. Actually, it's Inside the Eye Live prime time, isn't it? That's right. It's still intelligent media for the politically aware. Everybody, I can almost speak here. It is still intelligent media for the politically aware, even though it's Inside the Eye Live primetime. That's right. Every Thursday, catch Inside the Eye Live primetime from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio at Freedom Slips. Actually, not Freedom Slips, at revolution.radio. Like to say this is listener-sponsored and supported radio. It does rely upon your donations, of course, to help keep the network alive, up and running. And, of course, without your generous donations, of course, that would not be possible at all. So we're very, very thankful and helpful and grateful for all the support that you give to revolution.radio. And, of course, if you can make a donation on behalf of Inside the Eye Live, that would be very, very appreciated as always. So, and of course, what can we say? Without you, the listener, it's really difficult to have a forum or a platform like this to operate on. Which is, as you know, it's a forum that's been very, very supportive of Inside the Eye Live ever since Inside the Eye Live came here. I think I was given permission. Permission, so to speak. Not that I've ever been one that held anything back, but I was kind of encouraged within 6 months of coming to this studio to just let it hang loose, do your thing. Don't worry about the back chatter. Just do your thing and just let it loose. And obviously, we keep it on a professional level because we think that's proper. These are family shows on a family network. We want to provide you with critical and key information, but do so in a way that is respectful to everybody involved, and that includes our enemy in some respects. I'm no fan of what Jews are doing to America. I think they're destroying Western civilization, and I have a right to that opinion. They have a right to say importing hundreds of millions of immigrants, if necessary, is beneficial to the West. Now, see, they have that right, but they don't want to us to have the right to say, no, it's not beneficial. You know, what can we say, though? That's the nature we play by, and they believe in censorship. They believe in destroying free speech. They believe in projecting their hatred of others onto the rest of us, quite frankly. A lot of us are just generally good, decent, nice people, and we just don't have any patience for these people. And their intolerance of our very tolerant ways and means of advancing ideas in the rhetorical battlefield here. So what can I say? That's kind of just how I view it there. Anyways, folks, it's time. Let me first get into the CAT report. We're getting close to doing something for Thursday's CAT report. Currently, it still remains unsponsored, but we're negotiations to do something for that now. more of a barter deal, but it's going to be well worth it, I think, to me if we push through with it. It's got to finalize a few things, but I'm just honestly a very busy guy as of late, and I'll be leaving really here the kingdom probably in about 6 weeks. So my time and my contract will be finished. Not sure we have another one on the way. So just trying to save what we can and be prepared to move back to Jordan. And obviously keep pushing away on the radio show, of course. This is not going to go anywhere. So, but the Cat Report, again, very popular. We've been doing the Cat Report since we started the show. And the Cat Report, of course, was back when I had 5 cats, then 10 cats, then 12 cats, then 3 litters at once. I think the most I had at one time, and I could not afford to keep them all and feed them all, was 25 cats at one time, where we had like 4 mothers give birth to like 3 to 5 cats each, you know, something like that. And I had at one time, the mothers are responsible to take care of their cats at that stage, man. We did our best, but and where they all went, who knows. But we had at one time as much as 25 cats running around the house. And that told for a heck of a cat story. Now we're really down to just a few. And of course, the street cats that I take care of. Interesting story last night. Was it last night? Yeah, last night. I was out taking a walk at about 11:30 at night or 12:30 at night, something like that. The weather here is just fantastic around the midnight hour. So I was out walking about and I see this mother pop out, and it's the one cat I've been taking care of since she was a kitten. And she popped out and she just kind of looked at me and I'm like, oh, what a sweetie. And you can see she wanted food. You could see. So she came up kind of looking at me, not so close, but she could see she wanted food. And then about, 15, 20 seconds later, three of her kittens, which I didn't know she even had kittens at this stage, came out from underneath the car. So I told Mary, I was with Mary at the time, I said, Mary, I'm going to go get some food from the house. So I ran upstairs, cut up a nice amount of mortadello, which comes from Palestine, to be frank. And I cut it up, put it on a styrofoam plate that I had, and brought it down and then just fed the cats. And boy, were they hungry. And it's so fun to watch kittens eat because they have no concept of the food itself. I mean, they have a concept of, but they will just walk all over the food to eat the food. They won't just sit. They darn funny things. They literally get up on the tray and they walk all over the food while they're eating. It's kind of cute. I like it. So, but anyways, we were feeding the cats last night. And then today, phoned home, and I tell you what, One Eye, I was so jealous. One Eye is sleeping on Emily's shoulder, literally sleeping, his paw wrapped around her neck. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I got to get home. I'm starting to miss my cats here. But, you know, it was the cutest darn thing. And if you, of course, you got a lot of pets, when they comes time for them to sleep and to relax, they can just give you some nice, absolutely stunningly fun, pleasant, cute poses. And my big guy is no different. So he was out there today, not really out there last night, but today, just snuggling up on Emily's shoulder. And I think One Eye's figured it out. That's where Bruiser likes to sleep. Bruiser likes this same location. I think One Eye is like saying, no, I'm going to take this place today. And Bruiser was just down on the floor, just kind of meowing up a storm, but we couldn't let him up. You know, he couldn't be let up, I should say, because, of course, we'd have a fight on our hands. Not really a fight, but a lot of spatting, and we didn't want to have that. So that's kind of what we did and just kind of left it at that. That sounds a little bit better. I think I had that kind of accentuated a little bit low there, and that's not a great thing. But, yeah, that sounds a lot better. I felt like I was struggling to get talking to you guys. Anyways, folks, time for, you guessed it, the Oy Vey moment.
Oy Vey. Oy Gewalt. It's like another show.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on William Pierce.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
The
Oy Vey Moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Barnes Review at barnesreview.org. Order your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live Now link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media.
Hi, everybody. And this week's Oy Vey Moment, didn't really have time to pull a great one for Andy, but of course, make sure you check out Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's show, The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, a new show every day. That's right. He comes in with a new show every single day of the year. And you can listen to the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show at eurofolkradio.com. That's right. Live. eurofolkradio.com at 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern. Again, on eurofolkradio.com. And of course, all of Andy's shows are free of charge and available at andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. So you might want to go check all that out. He's got a lot of great interviews over the years. And now that he has gone 24/7, it seems, on this, many great interviews weekly, because he's got to do a show every day. So anyways, check out andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com and the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show. This week's Oy Vey Moment, it's not really a great, I would call an Oy Vey Moment per se, but it highlights the disconnect of the Jewish community from the crimes that their policies enable. Now, understand that clear here. There's a huge disconnect between what the Jewish community is focusing on and the crimes that their policies commit. And of course, this disconnect isn't disconnected. Only in bizarro Jewish land does this thing really get disconnected, folks. See, Jews want to think that they can enact some of the dumbest, most damaging, harmful policies ever, and everyone's supposed to just say, oh, thank you, Jews. You're just wonderful people. Thanks for having my aunt raped last week by one of your policies. Thanks for having my mother killed last week for one of your policies. And then if you say anything to these frickin' clowns, they want to sit there and accuse you of, quote unquote, an anti-Semitic act, when you're actually just extremely angry with them for good reason, because of the harm they have caused you. And they don't care one second about the harm that they're causing you or the nations that they are destroying. They don't care, folks. And deal with this fact and start to respond in kind when you hear their crap every time they want to talk about anti-Semitism. And I know we've talked a lot about that, but that's because it's become such a, really, it's become such a mainstream battle cry in the Jewish media. They raise the word probably, who knows how many times per hour you got to listen to these morons. But, you know, coming up this week, 19th through the 21st of March, this coming next week, at the International Convention Center in Jerusalem. And this gives you an idea of how Jews think about how they don't care one second about the crimes that they're committing through their policies. This thing is called the Sixth Global Forum for Combating Antisemitism. Now, what you have to understand is that these forums are backed by a lot of money. They're backed by a lot of organized efforts across the world, but especially within the West. These forums and these NGOs working on behalf of these Jewish agencies are there to target the American people. They are there to target the British people. They're there to target anybody that wants to confront Jewish hatred of the West. And they'll throw figures as if these are actually important. And I will show you just how stupid these Jews really are. They write here in 2016, 54%. Oof, big number there. Wow, I'm impressed, dude. I'm so impressed. Of religiously motivated hate crimes in the U.S. targeted Jews. Really? Do you, as a listener, really believe that 54% of all motivated stuff out there was targeting Jews? And then they have to tell you, oh, despite Jews being only 2% of the population. Do you really believe that? Seriously, do you believe that 54% just went towards Jews? And then they want to throw this 2% in their faces. Okay, well, if you're only 2% of the population, you're such a minority. Why should we care? You're a minority. We don't care. We have to take this attitude. We don't care about this minority. And we are, what we do care is this minority imposing itself upon us. It's a frickin' minority. If you're only 2% of the population, who cares? Stop caring about these people. It's not important. What's important is your major body politic, not these 2% whining little frothing idiots. Then they add in here, anti-Semitic incidents against Canada's Jewish population rose by 25% from 2015 to 2016. Yeah, it went from 42 incidents to 65. Big frickin' deal. And furthermore, it is the Jewish community in Canada that is actively seeking to destroy Canadians and their society. It's the Jewish community that is all about importing so many waves of immigrants for no other valid reason than to what? Diminish you, the Canadian people, and your ability to control your own nations because Jews are just handing out citizenship like it's candy. How is it that they are helping you? They're not. They're your enemy. And the fact that they're rising by 25% is a gross injustice, quite frankly, because using the measurements that these politicians and these NGOs from the Jewish community want to work with, that should be 1,000, 2,000, 5,000%, not 25%. Who cares about 25%? And furthermore, let me repeat, these are a minority. Who cares about this minority? You should care about your ethnic majority and focus on your ethnic rights, your ethnic abilities, your ethnic advance or your ethnic interests because they're advancing theirs. And they're a stupid frickin' minority. They're probably more than 2%, by the way. Another thing they put out there, 40% of 1,200 Jews surveyed in France said they avoided wearing symbols that identified them as Jews for fear of anti-Semitic attacks. Well, let me tell you this to the Jewish community. A lot of people are not even allowed to wear their religious symbols because you Jews are legislating them right out of existence. So why is it that while you Jewish people out there want to legislate people wearing their religious symbols proudly around their necks or on their shirts or wherever they wish to wear them, and then all of a sudden you want to show up wearing your stupid kippah and you want to be taken seriously when you're the same people out there that are trying to destroy the rights of everybody else to be able to express themselves? How would anybody care about this minority? They're a frickin' minority, folks. Treat it like that. And they're a hyper-minority, and they're a hostile minority. That's the reality of what's going on here. They write here, from January 1st to September 30th, there were 1,299 anti-Semitic acts across the entire United States. Really? That's all? Only 1,299? You guys are lucky. Considering the harm you're bringing to the United States, I'm surprised it's not 10,000. And you know what? If I go into the hood, I go into any of these hoods, and I use the same criteria Jews want to talk about, 1,200 anti-Semitic acts, there's 1,299 anti-white acts a day.
if we were to be the same whining loser mentality of the Jewish community. You would have 1,299 per day. Because remember, if somebody says something, oh, Whitey is this or Whitey is that, in Jewland, that's an act. That's an anti-Semitic, anti-white act. Yeah, they're that childish, folks. And people want to give them so much respect. Look, you could say something like, Jews control the press. That's a true statement. They control America's mainstream press. They brag about it. But the fact that you, a non-Jew, said it, ooh, that's an anti-Semitic incident, that we just went up 1%. Now imagine how much hatred you hear in the hood towards Western white European Americans. Imagine how much anti-white stuff we hear daily coming out of America's colleges and high schools. Daily. And folks, there are tens and tens of thousands of schools in America. Don't think that there aren't 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 anti-white incidents per day in America. Despite the fact that we are only 60% of the population. It says here in 2017, there was a 78% increase in physical attacks against Jews in the UK. Well, so what? So what? Honestly, folks, so what? Even if it's true, so what? I don't consider somebody yelling at a Jew to be a big deal. I don't care. People have a right to yell at anybody they want at the end of the day. This is our Western values. I know it's our Western values. According to some study, which of course is financed by Jews, 2% of British adults can be categorized as anti-Semitic. Oh, only 2%. Well, we can categorize 100%, or let's just say 97%, or at least 92% of the Jewish community as being anti-British. Treasonous. Fifth column elements. So you can call 2% of the British population, quote unquote, anti-Semitic, but we can consider 92% of the British Jewish community as being anti-British. Treasonous, fifth column elements. What's more important to you? A whining, gilded, silver spoon-fed, sadistic culture like they have in the UK within the Jewish community that wants to go after people for singing songs about the Holocaust. What's more important? Supporting those types of people who want to destroy your freedoms? Or focusing on the fact that these people are your enemy? Of course, I think that's the same thing. I kind of missaid that, didn't I? It says here, anti-Semitic acts in the U.S. increased by 70%. See where I'm going with this, folks? This is their motivator. It's not like we just want to talk about anti-Semitism. No, we are talking about what drives Jewish politics, what drives their thinking, what drives their relationship between you and they as a community. Folks, you cannot make peace with a community that views you as inherently hating them. The reality of it is, folks, is Jews come from a position that everybody hates them, and therefore, because of never again, that you keep granting them the benefit of, which never happened, by the way, because of this, they can do whatever they want to you. And you're supposed to shut your mouth and let them do it. Folks, you need to start fighting back and fighting back. I don't want to hear about a 70% increase because the models they use, the reasons they use are so childish, so petty, so stupid that it should be 50,000%, not 70%. Come on. 70% for what? Big deal. You're a freaking minority. Nobody cares. And you're only talking about 300 incidents, despite the fact that you're 2% of the population. Yeah, whatever. Morons. And then they go like this. In 2017, these are serious issues to Jews, folks.
Again, wrap your head around how stupid these people are for a second, would you? And how, just understand their motivators, why they want to destroy your countries. It says here there were 1,382 anti-Semitic acts recorded in the UK in 2017. Yeah, I wonder if that included singing a song about some stupid, defrocked Holocaust liar, survivor liar. Yeah, I'm sure it accounted that for two. And here's the kicker. It is estimated over 1 billion people worldwide harbor anti-Semitic attitudes. Well, that ain't enough either, because when you look at what's inside, metaphysically inside the Jewish community, it's really hard to argue for anything other than the fact that this is kind of like, as the sponsor of the segment goes, the synagogue of Satan. It's hard to argue otherwise. You know, how can you not be anti-Semitic when you know that Jews are behind the flooding of massive immigration into our countries? How can you not? Story just came out this week. Britain's worst ever child grooming scandal. Up to 1,000 girls raped, sold for sex. The worst moment, she says, came just after my 16th birthday, when I was drugged and gang raped by 5 men. This doesn't happen, folks, if you have good internal security and you have a nationalist point of view that stamps this type of vermin out. You know, a sad story today, I heard. A Filipina was seen on the streets crying. Oh, break time. I'll tell this story when I get back. It's The Fetch, Inside the Ally, prime time. For March the 15th, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll be back. Hour number 2 coming right up. It's The Fetch, Inside the Ally, prime time. You know, it just doesn't sound right saying Inside the Ally, prime time, intelligent media for the politically aware. I'm going to have to find a new tagline for this show. Inside the Ally, live intelligent media for the politically aware. I think that one works pretty good, everybody. But Inside the Ally, prime time, intelligent media for the, it just doesn't have the right ring. I'm going to have to come up with a new tagline for Inside the Ally, live prime time. That's about, I just kind of come to that conclusion because it just doesn't flow off the tongue like Inside the Ally, live intelligent media for the politically aware. Let's see here. Chat room is open, Inside the Eye Live. That's right, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button, and that will get you in the door. Love to have you there. Always say hello, get to know people. Great place to hang out, chat, enjoy the show, catch some interesting side stories that may or may not be going on at any given point in time. But nonetheless, it's a great place to hang out. Okay, it's too early in the morning for that, man, or too late in the day. Nonetheless, folks, we're halfway done the show. I was just talking in the chat room. By the way, telephone lines are open. 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Feel free to give us a call. Telephone lines are always open. But I was just talking in the chat room. You know, we do Inside the Eye Live on Saturdays, you know, and like there's a huge difference, everybody, between a 2-hour show and a 3-hour show. 2-hour shows are actually not all that difficult to put together because, you know, I mean, like after this half hour, it would be only like halfway done on Saturday. But right now, it's like going to be 3/4 done today. So it just flies. You know, I want to tell you a story about the Middle East here. And there's a lot of crap that I see. I don't see, but I know it goes on. And a female came to me almost in tears today. And this is what we call the kefil system, K-E-F-I-L. And by all, I guess, as we understand it, the immigration system used in the Middle East is like, it's called the kefil system. It's a sponsorship, a personal sponsorship. And it's not like the H-1B, but, you know, they have them like for house workers and things like that. And basically the way the kefil system works, and Inside the Ally Prime, I'll give that a thought, Han. I'll give that one a thought. But nonetheless, what happens here in the Middle East is there's still a lot within the culture that has not progressed to a level of sophistication, civilization that we are accustomed to in the West. And so a lot of people here still view people as human chattel, slaves type of mentality. And it's an uncomfortable subject. A lot of people don't want to talk about it. There's a lot of dirty games going on with the weaker expatriate markets like, let's say, Filipino, Sri Lanka, Bengali, India, places where they're just not so strong with the embassies and the economy's not so strong. But there was a story today, eyewitness story relayed to me of a Filipina. Maybe she's 18, 19, I was told. And there were three men, very large compared to her. And they had like what appeared to be her bag, which was a backpack. And she was absolutely terrified. And everyone just kept hushing my friend here along, saying, ignore it, move along. There's nothing to see here. And my friend knows that this girl was in massive amount of personal duress and, in fact, physical duress. And this goes on a lot, unfortunately, within the systems that they call this kafil system. And it's an issue that in this culture, you come into their culture, and it's a risk you take if you are a weak person per se. I'm talking about financially, economically, from a disadvantaged economic position like a housemaid or something like that. And these types of things happen far more often than people want to talk about. And I know there are good people in the government. They try to stop it. They do what they can. But I also know from my personal experience working with, like in Jordan, that there are people in the government that support it. It's a way for people to make money, trafficking in human beings. They use it. It's just basically legalized human trafficking a lot of the times. And it's kind of a sick system, and it allows and enables quite a lot of abuse. And what she saw today just turned her stomach, because she knows this woman, young girl, was being sent somewhere where she was in physical danger, and who knows what's going to happen to her and what's happening to her right as we speak at this moment. She said to me, you know, and she's not Western, she's not Christian, she's Muslim. And she says, you know, if I had a gun, I would want to put a bullet right in front of their eyes. And I said, you know, you're starting to talk more and more like us nationalists, because now you're starting to understand why we want to protect our culture, our civilization, why we're so angry at our politicians who are largely hostile, who are largely aligned with the state of Israel, who are largely Jewish or crypto-Jewish or serving Jewish interests. Why there's such anger towards these people? And day in and day out, we're supposed to be reminded by this minor, stupid, in some respects they are stupid, they're powerful, but they're not so smart. That's why they've been thrown out so many times. But how many times do we have to hear about how anti-Semitism is on the rise, yet we never hear Jews addressing the problems they're creating for us, our families, and our children? They never want to talk about that. So just as we saw this case here, and of course, here you come into these countries and it's a risk you take. Sad to say, it's a risk you take if you're coming from the Philippines, Indonesia, Malaysia, or some of these other poorer countries. Now, it's changed, but still, this problem persists. But it's unconscionable, absolutely unconscionable, that a government like the UK, in Britain, and I'm talking about you police out there, what cowards, what losers. I'm talking about the intelligence services. How dare you allow, like we see going on in the UK, in your own countries, Asian men, which are generally a code word for Pakistani, coming into the UK and grooming not one, not two, but thousands of girls on your own shores. in a rape epidemic that would make this quote-unquote rising anti-Semitism look like a walk in the park. How dare Jews raise these issues in our faces when we have these grooming gangs running around, drugging teenage women, largely whites, largely British natives, and nobody is doing a thing. The Jewish people are silent, yet they bring in more and more and more migrants to do more and more of these crimes. And the police are cowardly wimps. They do absolutely nothing. The intelligence services do absolutely nothing. What a bunch of no good, do nothing morons. And then they want to sit there and go after a quote unquote hate speech because you raise this issue in the public eye. These are cowards beyond compare, all the way from those who are doing the grooming to those who are enabling the grooming and those who look the other way and just say, oh, it's not my place. I don't want to look, but it is your place. It's your country. Folks, this is why nations like Jordan, like Saudi Arabia, like others here, they don't allow ever, ever, ever foreigners into their police forces. They don't allow foreigners into their intelligence services because these people can never have the links to the blood and the soil of the land that the true natives can. There's all the, when they talk about how police forces need to be diversified, what they're really saying is it needs to be neutralized, taken out, destroyed from within. That's really what is happening out there. And I hope this will connect. And it looks like it's going too high. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live. It's Banjo Picking Gal from the chat room. How are you?
Hello. I finally got through to you, Fetch. Did I?
You have gotten through. Absolutely. And you are now live on the air. So say hello to everybody in the chat room.
This has been about my third try. Just a minute, I have to turn this off.
Yeah, you got to turn your radio off. Radio 101, turn your volume down.
Got it off. Okay, I was wanting to talk to you. I asked you if you know anything about Tartaria. And I've been really fascinated in archaeology and, you know, past history, censored history, ancient history.
All great topics.
There's a lot that's now being exposed by those who are doing alternative archaeology. So one of the websites I stumbled upon was talking about this huge, vast country that was called Tartaria. And it is the whole, almost the whole of Ukraine, the whole of Russia. In fact, it seemed to expand into Europe and right across into America. Like, this was an ancient civilization that was highly evolved, and it was white people. It was the Aryan race. And I've put a couple of posts in the chat. There was a website I got onto this week. Unfortunately, the YouTube is in Russian, and I think there are German subtitles on it. And I know enough German that I was able to figure out, you know, kind of a little bit about what is going on. But I think maybe this is a new tactic of how we have to talk about how we are under a censorship that's 40,000 years old. We have a 40,000-year-old culture that was high and advanced, and they have managed to censor it out of history. What I find really exciting is the old maps. When you find these maps of Tartaria, you realize this is not a figment of the imagination. You know, this stuff was all obliterated from the library at Alexandria, and, you know, the major libraries all around the world, there were many. They censored our ancient information because they didn't want us to know the real history.
Which, of course, we agree with. I mean, I think history, as they say, you know, the fastest way to destroy the people is to, you know, rewrite their history and destroy their foundations, and before you know it, you will have destroyed their entire culture. So, yeah,
So I think, you know, like, we kind of get hooked up on this Christianity argument. Well, I just stumbled upon, like, I didn't really know the history about, now let me see, was it Charlemagne? Under Charlemagne, he assassinated a whole gang of, was it Saxons at Verdun?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, and this happened also in, you know, we're going to be celebrating St. Patrick's Day, and, you know, they always talk about how...
Watch for the St. Patrick's Day show.
We're
going to put a twist on that show Saturday.
We were the snakes. They ran the druids out.
Correct.
The Tartarian druids, we are the ones that they don't want us to know our real history, and they don't want us to talk about it. Anyway, I'll let you go, but I just wanted to bring up that, and I hope you'll go and look at that documentary that's in Russian and German that I posted.
Well, I will definitely have to do that. Obviously, it's hard to do that while you're doing a show, but it does sound interesting. I have not heard of that, so you're bringing something new for me, and I'm not a studied guy, so that's pretty impressive.
You speak some German too, do you?
No. Gesundheit, maybe.
Okay.
Gesundheit.
There are a lot around us who have the German heritage that have been
Swelled. You know, I wanted to learn German in high school. And my mother, because back then, you know, America, 50s, 60s, America still was a largely German nation. I mean, a lot of people don't even understand that. The younger generation doesn't grasp that. But German was everywhere. And German was taught in all the high schools. And that slowly got phased out, but I wanted to learn German. And Mom said, no, you live in Southern California. You're going to have to deal with these Mexicans. You're going to have to learn some Spanish. So she just made me do Spanish against my wishes.
Well, you know, my mother was a white Russian German from near Odessa. She fled after, well, her father took the family and got them out of the Bolshevik area in 1914, and she had vivid memories. Like, I guess she was about 6 or 7 years old, so she remembers them leaving in the night on a train, and she remembers them going to Danzig. Danzig was the port, and I guess they had to, their clothing had to be fumigated before they went on the boat, so she had a coat, and I guess it got put in for fumigation or cooked or whatever, and her buttons were cooked. And then she had great memories of the ocean voyage. I guess her mother and her brother were seasick, but she and her dad cavorted and, you know, talked with the sea captain. And then they arrived in Montreal and then came west to the frozen steppes of Alberta, northern Alberta. And it was 2 years later that my grandfather died because of the flu pandemic. So my mother really had a great perspective of history. She understood that her grandfather's or her father's flour mill had been stolen by those damn Jews. And, you know, she always followed history. And she would have written that book. You know, there's a new book out called The Bad War by, is it Mike King?
Yeah, Mike King, yes.
She probably would have written that book, but she was when she grew up, like, she became a teacher, so she was a teacher in a one-room schoolhouse, and she had this old trunk of all of her old books from the old teaching era, the old readers, and I went into that box, into the trunk, and I found her old German books that were written in the script. And when I was about in grade 4 or 5, I was teaching myself German words.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was very interested in languages, and so I became a French teacher, and I had a very good French teacher in school, and I was very interested in languages. So I do speak some German, and I actually know Monica Schaefer personally. I met her several years ago, and I actually gave her the book, The Bad War, and told her to watch Hellstorm. And that's part of what's going on right now. They're trying to challenge what's going on in Germany. The people are trying to reclaim their heritage, right? Because it's totally defensive and shut down.
Well, I'll tell you, we have to pull for the nationalists in Germany because it's time for them to throw this yoke off. It's 70 years of oppression. And anyway, let's be honest, you can't even speak in that country, and that's an embarrassment. We're all proud people. We should not be under this type of childish constraint because it is childish at the end of the day. It's just that they're creating it into a legal system that makes it very dangerous, but it's childish.
Right. One of the things I find problematic, people don't understand the difference. They don't understand what the word Nazi means. And, you know, I keep listening to Revolution Radio and kind of putting comments in the chat room because people always demonize Hitler. You know, he was the monster and the Nazis were the monster. Well, these people should be reading these new books by, is it Michael Walsh who's put out a whole...
Yes, Michael Walsh.
Who's put out a whole raft of books about, you know, what really happened in Germany, what life was really like and what Hitler was really like and who the heroes were. And he talked about the Quislings, like, you know, there are heroes from the Reich that we never hear about because, you know, they've all been demonized. Like, it's the Allies that took over. And Hitler really wasn't the bad guy. He was trying to make peace all the time. He was trying to end that war stuff. He was just battling against communism coming into Europe. And the Allies joined the war and they were fighting on the wrong side, right?
Well, that's what Patton sure seemed to think, but I think Patton just never understood that he was just always part of the pawn of global Judaism. And America was fighting a Jewish war.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. But if I think the worst mad dog was Churchill. He was a bloodthirsty son of a gun, and he really hated the Germans. He was after Germany. And I think it was jealousy of the high culture that the Germans had, right? When you look what they did to Dresden, Dresden was such a highly evolved, advanced city, and they had to firebomb all those German cities and get rid of the evidence.
That's correct. I believe in that also. And another, on the esoteric, I think you're familiar with my esoteric work. I'm not sure. Are you?
Yes.
Okay. What I don't know if you know this, but I've talked about it, but you have to like really be, it's very small. The Germans, they viewed the sun god as a female entity.
Right.
And so I'm sure that this evidence about the sun god being female was all over the ancient architecture of Germany. And part of that war was to destroy as much of that evidence as possible.
Okay, another aspect of it was their interest in Odin, and that whole philosophy of religion was an earth-based religion. As I understand it, the whole group of them, women were not an inferior part of the race, as has happened with the Abrahamic religions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women are inferior in the Abrahamic religion.
Yeah, and of course you see that exercise. Of course, women are still powerful everywhere, but you know the religion seems to try to put it on a different level, and then there's reality. But yeah, I hear you. I mean, don't worry.
Women are still strong,
even here, but it's a different type of strength for sure.
Right. Anyway, I was thinking this whole aspect of questioning what Tartaria was and why it's been censored. I think that's part of helping people to make the links about what's been suppressed and why it's been suppressed. So dig into those maps. I find it really interesting. And it was really interesting in that video. Now, I'm not sure if I understood enough German and Russian to pick this out, but they were showing the Great Wall of China. And like we've always been taught that wall was built, the Chinese built that wall to keep the the bad guys out. Well, it might have been the other way around. It was maybe the Tartarians who built the wall to keep the Chinese out. So, you know, there's all sorts of things to question about what's been framed for us in history and how it's been framed.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'll let you go. Thank you for letting me be on your program. I love listening to you. You give me great inspiration.
Thanks so much, Banjo. We'll see you in the chat room, huh?
Okay, ciao.
All right, thanks for the call. All right, that's Banjo Picking Gal, everybody. Thanks for calling, Banjo. Great to have you on the show for sure. She's been a longtime listener and supporter of the show, so it's great to have her actually be able to get through. That's a great thing. If you'd like to call, the numbers now, it's always open. We have a multiple call line here, so 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. We're going into a break right now. I just want to say that this Saturday, of course, Inside the Eye Live, Intelligent Media for the Politically Aware, we're going to be doing kind of like a special Patrick's Day show. So look for a little bit of shift there. Should be kind of a fun little show for sure. We're hoping to get that thing. All right, Frank, welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live prime time. We've lost the studio side, but we know we're still live. So I assume they can hear us. Frank, you were telling the story about the Jewish grandmother who was saying that Jews are crooks. You want to carry on with that story real quick?
Sure. It's just something that people might find amusing and look up later. You should be able to find it if you go to the search engine at YouTube and just look up Jewish grandmother says Jews are crooks. I saw it yesterday. I think the video clip itself was about 8 minutes long, and it was an excerpt from some longer documentary that this Jewish guy had made. And he's in his mother's kitchen, or maybe his grandmother's kitchen in Israel, and they're having a conversation talking about anti-Semitism and all this. And she basically, you know, starts saying, you know, if the Jews don't watch out, you know, they're going to have another Hitler come after them, you know. Because they're just asking for it. And she says, you know, Jews are crooks. And anyway, I just thought people would find that amusing.
It is amusing. It's true, too. It's true, too.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, Frank, catch up to you on Saturday, huh?
All right, man. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for the call. That's Frank, everybody in North Carolina. You know, this week I had a situation just a couple days ago. Someone came up to me and they said, hey, Tillerson's out. I said, what do you mean Tillerson's out? You mean Rex Tillerson? And I was so busy, folks, I didn't even know that Rex Tillerson had been fired. And a lot of stories coming out about that. I've tried to follow up on some of the stories. It's a little bit hard right now. There's not a whole lot of information really that I feel concrete about this firing of Rex Tillerson. But one of the things that does seem to be true is that unfortunately for us, or maybe fortunately for us, Jewish neoconservatism and this pro-Israel, Israel first policy that America has been pursuing for the last 20 years or so, maybe even longer than that, but certainly over the last 20 years, is starting to rear its ugly head again. And because of that, we're starting to see, perhaps we're going to see a lot more focus on pro-Israel type of actions again, a little bit more vocalized. There was just a exercise inside of Israel, and one of the leading generals actually had the chutzpah to go on the air and say that American soldiers are ready to die for the Jewish state. Literally said that in a press conference. American soldiers are ready to die for the American state. So, folks, you know, I think as long as we can allow Jews, and we can absorb it, of course, to Jews to keep making mistakes and destroying everything, again, they're in power. They are the ones that should be taking the criticism. They're the ones that should be taking the heat. They can whine and cry about anti-Semitism all they want. It doesn't matter to us because, quite frankly, if you're responsible, you're responsible. We're not going to put the blame of the failures of the American foreign policy establishment at the feet of the Chinese. We're not going to put it at the feet of the Russians. And, you know, I got this thing about this Russian story. You know, 23 Russian diplomats are going to be kicked out of the U.K., owing to this supposed gas attack on a former Russian spy and his daughter, who are now in the hospital. Understand, folks, the British government has not laid one piece of evidence at the feet of we the people, or the people of the UK, or the global environment, or the global world, just say the world at large. They haven't done any of that. They provided absolutely zero proof. Again, if it were the Russians, they were able to carry something like this out. Who's gonna resign? Who's gonna fall on a sword inside of the British intelligence services, MI5, MI6, whatever's responsible for this abject failure on their own soil? Who's gonna do that? Of course, nobody's gonna do that because they're just not so good, I guess. But let's just say straight up, folks, what happened most likely. This gas, if indeed the Jewish media, as they prosecuted this case, are telling the truth. What few people seem to understand, once again, is that when the Soviet Union fell and Russia went into extreme decay, many of these types of programs were shut down by the Russians because they, quite frankly, weren't affordable. They couldn't do it. A lot of the scientists who were involved in this type of exotic gas and chemical warfare, they all left the Soviet Union / Russia and moved to the UK, moved to the United States, and they kept doing their work because they wanted to continue to get paid. So it's not improbable. In fact, it's highly probable that the UK had the capability to produce the gas in question, even though it may have originated in, quote unquote, the Soviet Union, which was a Jewish construction. Folks, it didn't. In other words, the whole story, like most things coming out of the Jewish press, stinks. But what it appears clearly they are trying to do, and again, it's always, if you notice, gas, gas, gas. And again, understand the archetype at play here. The Jewish community has sold you on the idea that they lost 6 million people because they were all gassed. That's just lame. It's a stupid story. The numbers don't add up. To go and believe it, it's your own stupidity for doing it. Folks, think about it. We're not Jews. We are a civilized people. We're not going to behave like the Jews behaved, leave millions of soldiers who are now non-combatants out in the elements to die along the River Rhine in Eisenhower's death camps. We're not uncivilized like the Eisenhowers and these other Jews out there. These are sick, sadistic, evil people. They're the ones who talk to us daily about gas, gas, gas. It's Bashar Assad. He's got gas. This person has gas. All these people have gas. Everyone's got the gas. It's only Jews who are interested in this, folks. It's kind of like their, what's the term? They're ecstatic. Leave it that way. They're ecstatic. Leave it. Just let's talk about the ecstatic. They are just ecstatic over gas. So anyways, folks, a lot of this has got to break. Obviously, there is a play in the Jewish media to demonize Russia further. Right after this major story about Pakistanis grooming the Brits, all of a sudden, we got this story come out about the gassing and all this major geopolitical mess. And now all of a sudden, this child grooming, which would include pedophilia now, gets swept off the news cycle in favor of Russia, 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 24/7. The real story here is the fact that we have problems with certain migrant communities who do not have any respect for our laws, any respect for our civil norms. That includes the Jewish community. They're the ones enabling it. Without them, none of this crap could ever happen. That's just a fact. You know, you look at what's going on in Britain today, is absolutely unconscionable. Unconscionable. Let's see. You know, been in the news a lot. Still Monica Schaefer. Now, I haven't heard much about her. She's just been in jail, I guess. I'll get to this story on Saturday, I think. We'll talk about Allison on Saturday. Let me kind of finish with what's going on here with the sun. You know, you've got, they always say Asian, but it's Pakistani for the most part. And it's always been uncomfortable, you know, here locally because you have a lot of Pakistani teachers. And of course, we had Mary do our voiceover and she's Pakistani. And it's become very hard sometimes to talk openly because you don't want too much ill will. But now, again, as we continue to talk, don't back down, folks, because of political correctness. If you're right, continue to speak. Continue to raise the key issues. Because when you're right, you don't have anything to fear on the backside. Look, there's a problem with Pakistani men in the UK. A huge problem. That problem, as far as I'm concerned, should just simply destroy their entire ability to stay in the UK. They're a hostile force within the UK. They're dangerous. They have no respect for anybody. You could call them animals in some cases, and you would be telling the truth. It's the Jewish media, it's Jewish NGOs that have created the political environment that prevents you from actually talking about the problem. This is allowing a hostile migrant / minority to prey on the very people of the land. It shows to me such a galling incompetence, including not just incompetence, but treasonous layer of behavior by the British security forces. What complete losers to allow this to happen. You guys are pathetic. What little punks you allow this to happen on your own soil. It's your country, and you allow thousands upon thousands upon thousands of girls to be trafficked for sex on your own land. You want to pick a definition of losers? Look at the British intelligence services. What a bunch of idiots. I can't believe you guys are so pathetic and weak. You can't even stop something like this on your own land. Or you're treasonous to the point to where you enable and let it prosper on your land. But no matter how you cut it, the British intelligence services are a bunch of absolute abject losers. What idiots. I look at some of the stories coming out of the UK regarding these sex trafficking / grooming. Here's a story of a 14-year-old groomed and abused after her phone number was sold to pedophiles. Yeah, she says, I hated what was happening and my abusers made my skin crawl, but I was told that if I said a word to anyone, they'd come for my little sisters and tell my mom I was a prostitute. What losers. Night after night, this little girl was forced to have sex with many men per night. And this isn't even in a decent place. Of course, it's all filthy. And British intelligence is so pathetically stupid, they can't stop it. Pathetic. Really. These people in the intelligence services who don't do their jobs disgust me. You know, you guys want to cover it up. You want to create money to go after people who are, quote unquote, not speaking political correctness. And you allow this filth to prosper on your land. Give us a break. You guys should be just freaking railroaded out. We need to rebuild it from scratch. Put aggressive, intelligent nationalists into power and just throw you people onto some barge and let it sink because you're a complete failure to your people. Disgusting people. This abuse, thousands upon thousands of women. And you Jews want to talk to us about anti-Semitism 24/7. Get out of our faces. What complete losers. Really, we are dealing with such a pack of insane, disgusting, low-life people that are in powers of position and they want to sit there and try to pontificate and preach to us about what is morally correct and where the moral compass should be directed. Folks, there's a new report just came out. it's being reported in the Sun. And the report says very simply, it comes out of the Gilliam Foundation. And it says it's important we talk about it. British Pakistani researchers say 84% of grooming gang members targeting young girls are Asian. Now, I want you to understand that in the UK, Asian essentially means Pakistani. It's not like the Chinese. It's not like the Japanese. It's Pakistani. I've had my run-ins with Pakistanis. I've had my run-ins with, let's just call it radicalized American Muslims. I've had my run-ins with Canadian radicalized Muslims. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know, what is with these people? But it's like you go to Israel, it's a cesspool of racism, it's a cesspool of bigotry, it's a cesspool of pretty much the worst of human social behaviors. And yet the worst of the worst are the transplants from America, from the UK, from Brit, from Canada. These are the worst of the worst of the worst. And it's no different on the Pakistani side in the UK. This think tank again is saying that 84% of people convicted of child sex grooming gang offenses in the UK since 2005 were Asian. Of course, they're not going to be talking about the elite pedophile rings that are above and beyond the law that are way more powerful than these quote unquote Asian Pakistani sex grooming gangs. It said that while white sex offenders often acted alone, child abusers from Asian backgrounds were more likely to work in so-called grooming gangs. Now, even in the criminal efforts here, it should be understood here, white Western European civilization is based on individualism. You know, the Germans didn't want to live in a house, in row houses. They lived in farms, far from their neighbors. They were self-reliant. They were robust. They were rugged. That was the German way, the Nordic way of living. Western Europeans, by our nature, are individualists. We don't have that same tie, I guess you could say, to the tribe as you have elsewhere in the world. This is a key reason, folks, one of the key reasons why it is absolutely critical that you continue to support your Second Amendment right. Because while you're operating as an individual person, you cannot expect your adversaries to be treating you on the same playing field. They will act like a pack of raging, hungry hyenas. We see it in the black community in America. We see it in the gang behavior from Latin America. And you sure as heck see it within the Pakistani community up in the UK. The Gilliam organization, which helped write this report, usually focuses on counterterrorism. Usually. And another call coming in. Hi, from the 647 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live Primetime.
Hi, Fitch. Hi, Fitch.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello. Hello.
Great show.
Thank you, man. Welcome. Thanks for calling back. How are you, man? How's Canada?
Cold. Very cold.
You can come to Saudi, man.
Canada.
You can come to Saudi.
I know. Yeah, it's closer if I go south to Cuba or something.
Yeah, Cuba wouldn't be bad, probably. You know, if you can hang out there, it'd probably be pretty nice. I wouldn't mind myself getting like on a Vancouver Island or something, though, where it's not so cold, but it's still rugged.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody wants to donate an island to me, let me know. Maybe I'll work something out.
Okay, I will. I promise. I just called to pick up your brains on this situation with all these guys disappearing from the websites and disappearing from this planet, let's sort of speak. I don't know if you heard about the Nick Spiro from the Renegade.
Yeah, what happened to Nick?
Well, he died this weekend.
Is that right?
Yes, he died this weekend. He went into the hospital on Friday with a cold or a flu or a pneumonia or something. And the next day came back and they put him on IVs and all kind of tubes. And they said they died for a cardiac arrest or something. So I'm very worried about all this. Things happening, you know. It's I'm so sorry about Nick. He was such a great guy on the Renegade. He brought so many things to us, and
he did. He was a very hard researcher. I think he took a few stabs at me for sometimes. It's like, Nick, you shouldn't be doing that. Come on, dude. But it was his style. It's okay. I didn't mind it either. At the same time. It was his style. It was part of what he put out there. But he did some top-notch, interesting research. Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's very suspicious.
That's news. I saw something on Twitter, and I know Nancy Saleh. She's also a great. I like what Nancy does, and you know, she's been a very big fan of Nick Sparrow, and I saw something about Nick Sparrow. It just the way she did the photo, it didn't even, I never crossed my mind that he actually died.
Yeah, he did, unfortunately. And you know what? All the guys in this alternative media were getting plucked like the feathers of the chicken, one by one, day by day. And we don't realize that our numbers are going down. It's such a subtle movement, you know. It's like you wake up every day in the mirror and you look at your face and everything is fine. But 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, you realize you're bald, you're old, and you're ugly. That's what's happening with us. We're getting... Our line is getting thinner and thinner every day. These guys, they have a thing of working, and they are going, I think right now they are going to start to pick one by one.
The website, they are going to look, my Twitter numbers are down 10%.
Yeah.
And it's like, no matter, I haven't worked it so hard, but it's like, you know, my big audience reaches here on the radio anyway, so it's okay type of thing.
They can shut down every website every day if they want. If they want to shut down your website tomorrow, they will. You know what I mean? It's getting very weird. We have to do something to organize, to have like a backup platform. I don't understand. People are still relying on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. Those are gone. Those are not our platforms.
Yeah,
we
I think
have to find something else. Yeah, you know, no. YouTube, Google, Facebook, they should disappear from not from our mind, from our language. We should never use these names again.
Good
we should
point.
Never go there. We should never open an account. We should find alternative platforms. Because, you know, is that proverb that one day they came after the communists. I wasn't a communist. I didn't care. Next day they came after whatever guys. I wasn't that guy. I didn't care. Third day they came after me. It was nobody there to help me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you don't join and create like a platform, like a way of warning each other where something is going on, like, I don't know. Because they're going to pick us one by one by one by one until we are all gone.
Well, I'll be honest, I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's possible. They can go after certain people if they went after Nick. If they did, I guess you'd have to say Nick was doing a lot of good work on that Talpiot idea and the links with Trump to Putin, per se.
Yeah.
You know, possible.
Look, if they go after you, for example, after Renegade Broadcasting, mm-hmm. after Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, and after John Kaminsky, one by one. This month, this guy. Next month, this guy. We're done. Without you guys, we're done here. For example, today I was watching the website of the Mummy Street, the Grism.
Yes.
No updates since this morning. Nothing happened. What's happening with this guy? For example, I just noticed.
For instance, I can let people know that he's looking at, they are going after, I think they may be going after him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in touch with, no, I just let you know, Zap is our official archiver. He's in touch with me all the time. He's been sending me messages. He's still around. The problem is, unfortunately, I'm sleeping. I'm asleep when I'm getting this. We're quite a few hours mm-hmm. difference between you guys, as you guys know. So when he sends the messages, I'm not picking up the messages. But he is around. I mean, he texted me yesterday, so. Why there's no update? Maybe he just didn't find anything interesting there.
Yeah, I know he has problems with his wife and everything, and I encourage everybody to donate if they can.
Not so much the wife. No, it's more an issue of he had a BB gun, and some police are fraudulently really creating a story that didn't happen and trying to raise this into some aggravated assault charge, which is insane.
But you see, in my head, we have to create a hub. Somehow we have to create a hub. All these alternative sites, all the truth speakers, they have to find a way to create a hub, a website, however you call it. I'm not an IT guy. I'm not good in this, but we have to create our secure network to communicate and to spread the word. We cannot rely on internet, on these websites and everything, you know, Twitter and YouTube and Facebook, and these are just gone. They're not reliable. They can come after you.
No, they're really not. I agree. I mean, Facebook and YouTube, especially, and Twitter, they're not reliable.
Exactly.
They really aren't.
They are fishing us one by one.
Well, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the 2005, 2006, 2007 era when the trolls were running the show. The trolls were not, it was a new phenomena. And really what it is just the garbage of our society not having to deal with people face to face so they can get away with being idiots. You know, they couldn't do it in real life, but they could do it in the, you know, these cowards could do it online. So they did it online because they're cowards, and they would just go out and ban everything. It's like that mentality, I call it the Andrew Arnheimer mentality, has now come full circle. And now these people that were part of that culture have become part of the mainstream IT infrastructure, and they're just carrying on with their original agenda. They've always been into banning everything. I find it actually quite funny and fascinating that in retrospect, Weave Arnheimer has been completely, pretty much wiped off the net.